There are three scriptures that are very important. Closest title I could get to it is seeing the unseen. Looking beyond, seeing the unseen. If all you can see is what, and I thank God for the good part of it, but if all you can see is what's happening around you right now, there's probably some areas that would be very frustrating to some of you. Probably some areas that would be greatly frustrating to many of you today, along with all the good things that God's doing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 7. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I forget which translation, but one said it's the title deed of things not seen. Now, you real estate people would consider that to be a very unusual situation. A title deed, but you don't know where it is or what it is. You haven't. All you know, it's there's a promise on paper. That's an interesting one right there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And that's the part of that verse that's just been going over and over and over in my heart. Noah, warned of God of things not seen as yet. Things not seen as yet. Something's there, but as yet, it's seen, but not really, but it's coming. That sounds like a good faith and hope package to me. Things not seen as yet. Well, you haven't seen it. Not as yet. But I'm excited about things that I have seen, but as far as possession, not seen as yet. Now, you're going to have to wrap your heart around this. I mean, this... I'm not playing with words this morning. This is the essence of what faith and hope is all about. Somebody loses their hope. Hope is on that which is yet to come. Hope is based on something that's still out there. It's out there somewhere. I hope this deal will come through. I hope this sale will come to pass. I hope that this individual will keep their word. I hope that things will go as I would like for them to go. And I'm going to tell you, you know, the big three in the Corinthian letter are still faith, hope, and love. I mean, tied into those three words is everything we are, everywhere we're going, everything we are attempting to reach out and see. It'll kind of bounce around on you there for a while, but it's been bouncing around inside of me now for several weeks. Things not seen as yet. Fatalistic people don't see that. Fatalistic people think we're crazy. But notice 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not. I mean, what's got your attention? What are you concentrating on 24/7 when you're awake? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Sound like strange church folks, doesn't it? For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, But the things which are not seen as yet, are eternal. Father, I ask you by your Holy Spirit to let this find a lodging place in our heart. I don't know really how to preach it. All I know to do is just put the food on the table and serve up this morning. But God, I'm just believing that every hopeless, helpless, frustrated, fearful, don't know what's going to happen spirit that is trying to torment anyone in this audience or wherever this message will go, that thing will just be smitten and broken into a million pieces. In fact, it already has been. It was nailed to the cross of Calvary. Lord, may we catch the vision that if we're truly frustrated, we're seeing the wrong thing. We're dwelling on the wrong thing. We keep seeing the wrong things. We keep hearing the wrong. We keep hearing now. Father, help us to look beyond our now and reach out into the unseen. Yes, things which are not seen as now. There's a faith in my heart that something is going to every area of this building and perhaps through radio. You don't know where it's all going to go. Why in the world am I standing up here taking your time if I don't believe that I have something in my heart to share with you that's going to make a difference in your life? That would be egotism and pride just to think we all stand up and how great is our speech. We're not up here to compete. We're not up here to... It's not how long the message, how short the message, how loud the message, how quiet the message, how somber the message, how funny the message. Everybody has different times and different ways of delivery. But there's a thought in my heart. And if you just write this down, you've got the essence of everything that I'll be trying to say for the next few minutes. Things not seen as yet. They're out there. They're coming. They are reserved for you and given to you by God, but you gotta believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are you doing in college? What are you doing in school? What are you, you're preparing for what? The future. You're not gonna be able to use everything today that you're learning or Friday or Wednesday. You're preparing for the future. Things not seen, experiences not experienced as yet. That's what an education is all about. To prepare you for greater things, wiser things, to reach out, to cope with things that right now you may not have the wisdom to do that. And life is an ongoing experience of education, is it not? My standing up here is things not seen as yet, but I see them through the eye of the Spirit. I see the Spirit. I've been seeing this for days. I see God reaching out to you, and that which seems so impossible, that in the future, God is saying, dare to believe God. Dare to get your hopes up. Dare to say, there will be a different day than today. If today's a good day, a better day is coming. Now, you know, this is true in salvation. It's true in every area of our life. With all believers, all men and women in Hebrews 11 stake their lives on things not seen as yet. That's particularly tied into Noah. Built something that had never been built for something that had never happened. You talk about, don't you know the tabloids had a few things to say about Noah? Yeah, you talk about something to come by and see that monstrosity down there that he calls an ark for something that has never happened. Noah was the biggest fool that ever lived until it started to rain. Then he became the wisest man in the world, especially when the waters started coming up. I'm thankful for the now, but our life is not the now. Our life is anticipating a better day, a better time, a better this, a better them. Everything in us is anticipating something better, right? If not, you're in deep depression today. And I just pray that God will just strengthen you. All these in Hebrews 11, men and women by faith stake their lives on things not seen as yet. Every faith man or woman stake their very lives on things as yet not seen. You know, with all believers today, it's still the same as we believe. We give an altar call. Why do we give an altar call? Do you expect anybody to come? Yes. Do you expect there to be changes in their life? Yes. Do you expect that their life is going to be fuller, richer, wiser, more powerful because they've come to Jesus? Yes. Salvation is something not seen, fully seen as yet. In fact, the scriptures are filled with one scripture after another that tells us, you know, he'll show us our salvation. We're saved, but we're in the showing process. We're in the show and tell process. We're saved. Sins are forgiven. We're going to heaven. But the best is yet to come. And we come to church to find out how the best and the better can come quicker and bigger. I was in a business yesterday. A business that you have to watch your calories. So I'll not call the name of that business, but I met the manager a number of months ago, several months ago, probably almost a year ago. And I was there and he came up and, "Can I help you, sir?" And he put that extra bling into being there. And the reason was that he was manager over a number of stores for that corporation in the greater Fort Worth area. He was working, I think, for Walmart and doing such a good job that one of the officials of this particular company said, "Would you come to work for us? And we'll greatly raise, what do you make?" And he told him, he said, "We'll greatly increase your salary. We need someone just like you." See, the world's looking for someone that they feel will make things better for them. And he was a very nice young man, very nice young man. And had a last name of a politician that wasn't real popular right then. But anyway, he let me know he was no relation to that. Anyway, I talked to the man. He's probably in his later 30s. Talked to him about Jesus. Talked to him about church. I tell you, I've just been on a kick lately. Just give me an excuse to talk about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? What church do you attend? Well, have you actually invited him into your heart? Has it made a difference, made a change? But anyway, long story short, I took it as far as I could take it a couple of times. And he was very kind, very gracious. He said, "I really appreciate, I believe you're doing a good work." And he said, "You're a good man." He said, I'm a good Catholic. But I couldn't pin him. He said, "I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart." I walk into the store yesterday, and this man comes up and he gets me by the arm. He says, "Preacher, we got to talk." I don't know why that happens when you don't necessarily have time. You know what I mean? I was going in for a quick make a purchase and I'm gone. But I knew what I had to do. And so I made the purchase, and when I got through, he came over and he said, "You know, we've had some conversations." I said, "Yes, we have." He said, "Let me tell you what's happened to me." He said, "My wife and I were separated for 5 months. There seemed to be no hope for reconciliation. A lot of things had come and gone." And he said, "I had my son on visitation on a Saturday. I wished I'd ask him, I will the next time I see him, ask him the age of his son. I don't know what the age of the son was. But the son said to his dad, "Dad, you know what you need to do? You need to go to church." And he said, "If you go to church and talk to God, he may just bring you and mother back together again." He said, "We got in the car. We drove a short distance. There was a church. Thank God it was a church that taught and preached, 'You must be born again.'" And he said, "You know, when the preacher got through preaching, he gave, what do you call that, an altar call. Thank God we do." And he said, "It was like something just picked me up out of the seat. And I found myself down front." And he said, I prayed that sinner's prayer. And he said, "I've been baptized in water." That's good. And he said, "My wife and I are back together. We're happier than we've ever been before." But at one time, it was things not seen as yet, witnessing in a store. God's the Savior. You know, my first thought, "Oh, dear God, I wish he could have walked our aisle." But that's okay. He walked an aisle. He gave his heart to the Lord. And he said, "You know," he said, "I didn't know life could be good." He said, "I was born a Catholic, but now I've been born again." Now, don't get mad at me, because there's a lot of Protestants that are not born again, and there's a lot of Catholics that aren't born again. But what he was saying was, "I was born and christened as a baby before I knew anything about anything. I was born into a Catholic church, but now I have been born again." And he said, "I'm reading my Bible. I'm into Bible study." He said, "My whole life has been changed." I guess all this has come up in the last 2 or 3 months since I've seen him last. Don't you reckon that's the will of God for every sinner in the Metroplex? Don't you believe that's the will of God for every broken home and heart and life? He said, "I didn't have a clue what this was all about. I didn't have a clue how messed up my thinking was." He said, "I didn't have a clue how obnoxious I must have been." But he said, "God has, through Jesus, has," I mean, he's talking like a preacher, "things not seen as yet." There was a time all he could see was himself. He was into himself. Into what he was doing. Home messed up. A little child shall lead them. A little boy said, "Daddy, I think you need to go to church." Thank God he went to the right church. Thank God he went to a church where you can be born again. And it just reinforces we're going to keep on doing what we've been doing in that respect. We're going to keep on throwing the net out. We're going to keep on baiting the hook and sending it out. If no one comes, we did our part. But if a sister Rhonda of yours comes out on a Wednesday night, now she's gone on to be with the Lord, we'll shout about that throughout eternity. That girl's shouting all over heaven right now. "Thank God I went to church on Wednesday night, something I hadn't done in a long time and something I didn't normally do." And on the third altar call, I still meditate on the third altar call when no one has come. What a night. What a different kind of a night. On the third altar call, here she comes. She's born again. Little did we know 8 days later she'd go home to be with Jesus. God has something so good. But you got to get off this now thing of the way things are now. Sorry about the way things are now if they're not good, but we got to start rejoicing in things not seen as yet. They're coming. I said they're coming. Our salvation is unseen. This manager's salvation, I wanted it, I witnessed for it, but God chose to do it a different way. He's in church this morning with his family, rejoicing in the things of God. He responded to the unseen. I heard this thing, pop culture, thrown around. And so I asked for some wisdom on what it really means. And there's all kind of definitions here. It's what's popular at the time. That really is the bottom of it. Pop culture is what's popular at the time. Let me tell you something. The cross has always gone cross-grained to culture. Jesus has always been cross-grained to what was popular at the time. What's popular right now doesn't mean that what's popular right now is right. There's a lot of stuff that's been popular over a period of time, but it was either not godly or not right, and then there are things that are either neither here nor there. But you know, everything about Jesus, pop culture didn't know what to do with him. Religion did not know what to do with him. The high priest did not know what to do with him. He was messing with their people's heads, but really their hearts. Religion just stayed upset with this Jesus. Pop culture didn't understand him. They did not receive him. Strange guy. Been sick all these years and somebody's miraculously healed, but we don't understand it. But as I got to thinking about everything that's near and dear to us, the world doesn't understand. When somebody argues over a two-bit offering, and then we'll go out and spend $200 or $300 or $400 or $500 or $1,000 on just to see a ball game that may not go their way. Nothing wrong with a ball game, but I'm just saying, the world doesn't understand. You go to church more than once a month. You give some money, 10%. And then I heard you got into that leap of faith thing down there. See, pop culture doesn't understand. They understand you doing it at sports events. They understand you doing it for fashion. They understand you doing it for cell phones. They understand you doing ridiculous things for all kind of things, but they don't understand giving yourself 100% to Jesus. You know, Vince Lombardi took the Green Bay Packers years ago, took a group of losers, and something about Vince Lombardi, he buttonholed every one of them and imparted into them daring to see things not seen as yet. Green Bay. Whoever heard of Green Bay? Yeah, everybody's heard of Green Bay now. But at one time, it was just a suburb of whatever. But there came a coach along who was crazy. He was single-minded, single purpose. I'm a coach of the Green Bay Packers, and we are going to the Super Bowl. We are going to build winners out of losers. Everybody in America will know where Green Bay is. Everybody in the sports world will understand what Green Bay Packers are all about. I know that's many years ago, but there was a man that was so fanatical that he built into his players, we can win. We may have been a losing team, but we can turn this thing around. We can do it. You work with me and I'll work with you if we're committed to the cause. And a team that some had considered to be a ragtag team in one respect, all of a sudden won the respect of the football world and the sports world. Folks, that's what Jesus Christ is doing through this piece of clay this morning. He's reaching out to you and say, you may have been a loser all your life, but God wants to take your life and make a winner out of you. Your finances may be in shambles, but God wants you to know that it's God's will that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You may be going through the hurt of losing a loved one. Things didn't turn out as you would have liked for them to. But we don't quit on the first day, and we don't quit on the first day. I still believe in salvation. I don't care how many preachers go wrong. I don't care how many people miss it. I'm not going to cast aside so great a salvation. And I'm going to keep believing that we serve a divine healer. I don't care what people say. They can curse and make all kinds of filthy lewd signs out of car windows, and then we speak in tongues and they say we're crazy. No, we see things as yet not seen. We're committed. I don't care what you say, world. I don't care what your judgment is. I know Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm filled with the Spirit. God and I are partners. He gets 10% plus of everything that comes through my hand. And if you don't like it, you can just... I've made my decision. I'm going to serve Jesus. Well, there's a wild rumor you gave 20% on some occasions. Yeah. More than that, but it's none of your business. Because every penny I put into the kingdom of God, God's computers never go down. And one day we'll be in the presence of God, and God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. That manager, son, says, Dad, you just need to go to church, get everything back together again. And he did. God did. He grabs him by the arm and he said, this is great. He's excited. I walked out to my car feeling like I was 10 foot tall. I just heard a miracle. Keep on witnessing. Keep on believing. Keep on telling people about the goodness of God. You know, preachers every once in a while have a day. There's times I'm speaking into that microphone, you think, dear God, who is listening out there? Sundays that are more rewarding than others. But this came to me in November the 14th. I want to show you things not seen as yet. Here is a lady in her 20s. I presume lived in Dallas, not Fort Worth, because drove over from. Said, this is the time that I finally get to write my letter to you all. I've been waiting for over a year now, and after hearing Andrew Womack's message on last night, I immediately thought about you. I want to say thanks for being a faithful man and woman of God and being a tremendous blessing to my life. God chose this church for me over a year ago. I couldn't tell you what that means to my heart as a pastor. God chose this church for me. The most frustrating conversations, you're like, well, I don't know. Well, go where you do know. Find where God wants you and drive a stake and let's do it. Well, I don't know. Well, she knows. God chose this church for me over a year ago. I'm a young lady, and I was at the edge of giving up my life. My family didn't live in this area. I didn't have anyone to help me. Had a nervous breakdown temporarily. It seemed like I lost my mind. For over 2 years, I struggled, not wanting to live. Couldn't eat, sleep, pretty much on the verge of just being out there. I knew my way back to Jesus, but I had to get into an atmosphere where there was peace, joy, and the Word being preached. One lady on my job told me about 91.7, and she heard another minister, and then she heard our broadcast. She got to listening. She said, there was something about your voice. Well, I don't have that great a voice, but the Holy Ghost was there. Your program came on about 11:45, which, of course, it did at that time. I listened for a few months, and there was something that kept drawing me. One Sunday, I had to drive and give it a try and drive over to Fort Worth. My first visit was life-changing. And I remember your message, there is help and hope in Jesus. The words that I needed to hear for the situation I am, the very words I needed. This was the beginning of a new journey for me, but little did I know the attacks that would come. I continued to attend church twice on Sunday and even Wednesday. You know, it's amazing what you do when you get desperate. Then you kept saying, set your heart like a flint and don't be moved. And God gave me strength and he's been so faithful to me. Now the restoration to my soul, the healing hands of Jesus. I rededicated my life back to Christ. Mentally, physically, I was a wreck. God led me to attend Bible college. And through these teachings, my mind has been restored. I have peace in my life. Lots of joy. Hallelujah. And some folks say, well, I just don't know. Well, here's somebody that knows. I want to thank you for having your church doors open, Pastor Bob and Joy. God has used you all to bless my life. Words can't even explain the miracles that have taken place. Besides God and my doctors, you're the first to know about the healing process that God's done in my life. Never really shared this with anyone, but I know that God has a wonderful plan for my life, and he's going to use me in a mighty way. And then it says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Things not seen as yet. Our salvation is unseen. Salvation's by faith. Billy Graham said you can't put your salvation in a test tube and prove it by this world system in that respect. But it's the unseen. God's forgiveness, it's unseen. It's something you take by faith. And then 1 Corinthians 2:9. But see, here's what happens. You're exposed to what I've said this morning. Things not seen as yet. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. See, what we need to do this morning is to say, I don't understand what I thought was impossible, what I thought was crazy, what I thought was, you know, whatever. But I'm going to embrace that because the scripture says, my eye hasn't seen, my ear hasn't heard, it has not fully entered into my heart. See, my message is the beginning of letting it enter into your heart. You're saved. That if you're saved, you're saved. But do you follow what I'm saying? Let it enter your heart. Let hope enter your heart. Let faith in the unseen enter your heart. Let it in. It's like a little seed. It was always so fascinating to me in school where we would plant a seed and we would watch something come up in the classroom. A seed. But what I'm saying, you're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too anything. This message is for everyone. Things not seen as yet. You haven't seen it all. I haven't seen it all. We haven't seen it all. There's still more to see. There's still more to see. There's still more to hear. There's still more to embrace in your heart and let God come and give you new hope, fresh hope in things that you gave up on. But today's the day we stop giving up and we start seeing the unseen. We start seeing the unseen. Things as yet. Things as yet. Not seen as yet. Let it get down in there. Things. What things do you have need of? What's your hope reaching out for? What's your faith laying hold of? Things. I'm not just talking about material things, but a new plane in the Lord, a new understanding of the things of God, things being better, things not seen, but it's only as yet. Because it's coming. Sundays are coming. Woo! Saturday may be a long day, but Sundays are coming. Answers to prayer are coming. Don't give up. Don't cut the rope of hope. One of my first trips to Canada, I think the third trip, man picked me up at the airport. And I always like to find out what people do and, you know, just ask simple questions. And so I said, what do you do? You know, for a living, he said, I'm a tree feller. Well, I thought, boy, I've got me a ripe one here. They sent this guy that dwells in trees and sleeps in trees and got a tree house probably somewhere out to the airport to pick me up. I'm a tree feller. Well, I just had a sneaking suspicion there had to be more in the description of that than what he had said. I said, well, what is a tree feller? He said, I'm a lumberjack. I cut down trees. Ah, okay, I understand that. I'm not one, but I understand what you're saying. And I said, what's the first thing you have to learn about being a tree feller, to be a lumberjack? He said, well, if you're going to stay around, you have to learn not to cut your rope. Because at that time, they didn't have cables in the rope. So when you're up on that big tree, cutting it down in sections, that rope holds you to the tree. And sometimes they got so busy cutting down the tree, they cut their rope, their safety rope. And you know, that's so many of us today, if we're not careful. We get so busy cutting down the trees of life that we cut our safety rope. Don't cut your rope of hope. God's saying, let's reinstate it today. Hope is faith in the unseen. Eye has not seen. I've been doing this a few years. I've been pastoring a few years. I've been born again a few years. I've been married a few years. But eye has not seen. I haven't seen it all. Nor have my ears heard it all. Nor has my heart embraced all of the things of God that God has prepared for me because I love Him. So what's the message today? We're going to keep on looking. We're going to keep on listening. We're going to keep on wrapping our heart, not around the impossible, but around the possible. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel, with men, these things are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible.